Welcome to the Raised with Jesus podcast, 10 minutes every day of the life of Jesus meets yours. You've got your daily Bible reading for August 27th, 2019. Still looking at Ephesians chapter 1. We'll pick it up in verse 15. If you're looking at your paper Bible, this is probably just the last paragraph. I'm using the ESV translation today, and the paragraph divisions might be a little bit different in yours. But here goes. This is why, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I never stop giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep praying that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, will give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in knowing Christ fully. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, so that you may know the hope to which he has called you, just how rich his glorious inheritance among the saints is, and just how surpassingly great his power is for us who believe. It is as great as the working of his mighty strength, which God worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule, authority, power, and dominion, and above every name that is given, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. God also placed all things under his feet and made him head over everything for the church. The church is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. This is the word of our God. Earlier in this chapter, Paul talked about the great promises that God had accomplished through Jesus Christ, especially blessing us with every spiritual blessing through Jesus Christ. That was his main point in the previous section. And then he breaks that blessing out into its component parts or different aspects of it. First of all, that he gave us these blessings and when he chose us before the creation of the world to be adopted, and he chose us that we would be declared holy and blameless in his sight, all this taking place through Christ, that God's promise of predestination or election is fulfilled in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and that same promise of predestination or election is fulfilled when God brings you to faith through baptism and keeps you in faith until the day you leave this world. And then Paul goes on. He's like, oh man, I got to talk about this Jesus guy some more. he's got like three separate thoughts that are all grounded in the idea in him. First thought, in him we also have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Secondly, in him we have also obtained an inheritance, the inheritance of heaven. And in thirdly, in him, in Jesus, when you heard the word of truth, you were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. He is the down payment of our inheritance. And so we see that in Jesus, God's promise and God's choice of you from before the creation of the world was fulfilled as Jesus won your forgiveness of sins, as Jesus gave you the Holy Spirit as a down payment, and as Jesus promised an eternal life with him in heaven. Those three major thoughts about the promise of God from before the creation of the world, the promise of election as fulfilled by the forgiveness of sins, by the down payment of the Holy Spirit, and by eventually bringing you to heaven, those three thoughts are summarized as the reason why Paul, in verse 16, says that, I never stop giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. When I heard about your love for God, your faith in God, and your love for all the saints, Paul says, I never stopped giving thanks. And so he's like, he sees with his own eyes among that congregation, he sees the fulfillment of all of God's promises. God's promises stretching back to the very beginning of time, and God's promises being fulfilled in them and continuing to be fulfilled in them as these Christians work together and worship together and minister together to each other. And so Paul prays in verse 17, I keep praying that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ will give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in knowing Christ fully. Most generally, we talk about that as growing in one's faith. But Paul says, he keeps praying this. He keeps praying that they would continue to grow in faith, that they would be given greater understanding. And that prayer is a prayer in line with the will of God and a prayer that God loves to answer. And that prayer that somebody would keep growing in their faith, or that they would receive the spirit of wisdom and revelation and knowing Christ fully, That prayer is answered through the Word of God, because that's where and how God most often chooses to answer his prayers. And so Paul says, you know, this is a wonderful thing. Let's keep this up, because he can see how God's promise has been fulfilled, and God's promise to provide growth and understanding through the Word of God will also be fulfilled. Verse 18 is kind of the second part of his prayer, and this verse 18 through 23 is basically one prayer here at the end of Ephesians chapter 1. But what he's saying here in verse 18, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, so that you may know the hope to which he has called you, namely, just how rich his glorious inheritance among the saints is, first, and then just how surpassingly great his power is for us who believe. That's really the prayer. And then the rest of it, he can't help but draw a comparison between God's powerful working in the lives of Christians now and his powerful working in the life of Christ now. Because your life as a Christian is a life in Christ. That's the point he keeps coming back to, that in him you have been given forgiveness of sins. In him you have been given the deposit of the Holy Spirit. In him you have been given the promise of heaven. In him God's promise of election is fulfilled. And so Paul's prayer is that they would come to a greater depth of understanding of the hope to which he has called you. And understanding what that means may be helpful by comparison to what it isn't. The hope to which God has called you, this hope of eternal life in him with heaven, as compared with the empty hope of the world around us. Or as we talked Sunday, or in yesterday's podcast episode of my sermon from Sunday, the hope that the world offers is a hope that sounds very similar and makes the same promises as God. A hope that money will be able to provide status and security and peace of mind and hope for tomorrow and the ability to do new things. But the hope that God promises is a hope that is greater and more far-reaching, and a hope that just as every other promise he has made has failed to disappoint, so also this promise of a hope to which he has called you, this hope that we have in Christ, will not disappoint. And all of this is bound up in the down payment of the Holy Spirit, that when God gives you the Holy Spirit, he opens your eyes and he leads you into greater truth and greater understanding. And that leading is accomplished through the tool that he uses, the Word of God. And so we see that every single promise of Christ, has been a fulfillment of what God the Father had decided before time began. And what God the Father decided before time began, namely to bring you to faith and to save you, to bring you to his heaven, that was carried out in time as Jesus died and rose for the sins of all people. And then that was carried out in time as God used the Holy Spirit to bring you to faith. And so we see all three persons of the Trinity are involved in bringing you to faith, in accomplishing your salvation, in keeping you in that faith until the time that God takes you to heaven. And so the big idea in verse 18 is Paul says, just take a step back and marvel for a moment that God shares our human flesh and he has given us a glorious inheritance. A glorious inheritance, and he continues to work his surpassingly great power for us. And we see that as God takes one person after another from the road to hell, from eternal damnation in hell, and he puts them on the path to heaven. He cleanses them from their sin, and he keeps them close to himself. When there we see every single one of God's promises from before the beginning of time carried out in time through Jesus and applied individually through the work of the Holy Spirit. And Paul can't help but break into song, basically, verse 20 and following. It is as great as the working of his mighty strength, which God worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule, authority, power, and dominion. That Jesus is stronger than any spiritual force, any demon, and Satan himself. And the power that God works within his church and his people today is the exact same power. And it is no less powerful, obviously. It's the exact same power as the power that he used to raise Jesus from the dead. That God uses still that same power today to raise people from being spiritually dead and to give them a life with him. And that Jesus now holds all things under his feet. Jesus, as the Son of God, he always had all authority and power and authority in heaven and on earth. But now also Jesus as the Son of Mary. Jesus, talking about one person here, Son of God, Son of Mary, and one person, Jesus Christ. He's human as well as God, and he has all authority and power. And so he desires to fulfill all of God's promises, the promise that God made from the beginning of time. He wants to fulfill those promises within you and through you and through us together, to bring more people to a hearing of the Word of God so that they would be given spiritual resurrection through the same power that God used to raise Jesus from the dead and to give us a life, an inheritance together. That's the hope that we share, and that's why we're here. You can find us Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. and Sunday mornings at 9 a.m., 2250 South Hollandsylvania Road in Maumee. Also, give us a follow on Facebook if you're ever over there. Just search for Resurrection Maumee. God bless your day.